When it comes to climate change, we've been told repeatedly that the science is settled. This mantra has become so pervasive that questioning any aspect of climate science can brand you as a denier in public discourse. Yet Stephen E. Koonin's groundbreaking book, Unsettled, challenges this narrative from the perspective of someone who should know, a physicist who served as Undersecretary for Science in the Obama administration and chief scientist at BP. The book has sparked intense debate since its 2021 publication, with Bill Gates naming it one of his must-reads despite disagreeing with some conclusions. Koonin's work resonates with those seeking nuance in climate discussions, as he methodically demonstrates how the actual scientific research often contradicts what politicians, media, and even scientific institutions tell the public about our changing climate. Climate science fundamentally addresses three interconnected questions that increase in complexity. How have humans influenced climate, and how will those influences change? How does climate respond to these influences? And how will climate changes impact ecosystems and societies? The certainty of our understanding diminishes significantly as we progress from measuring human influence to predicting climate response to forecasting societal impacts, creating a cascade of compounding uncertainties. Unlike the simplified, definitive facts presented in textbooks, authentic scientific practice operates in shades of probability rather than absolute certainty. Every scientific measurement comes with an uncertainty interval, a range within which researchers believe the true value lies. This might be expressed as a temperature increase of 1.5 C plus or minus 0.3 C, or a sea level rise of 3 millimeters plus or minus 0.4 millimeters per year. These crucial uncertainty bands, fundamental to scientific understanding, frequently vanish when research reaches public discourse. The transformation of scientific knowledge occurs through multiple stages, each potentially introducing distortions. Research papers, rich with technical details and careful qualifications, get condensed into assessment reports, which then get further simplified in media coverage. Organizations like the IPCC and the U.S. Global Change Research Program serve as primary interpreters, creating authoritative documents that become the science for policymakers and the public. While these organizations generally maintain high standards, their reports sometimes oversimplify complex findings or emphasize certain conclusions while downplaying others. This process has led to several widely accepted facts that don't accurately reflect the underlying research. For instance, contrary to common belief, heat waves in the United States show no statistically significant increase in frequency since 1900. Studies haven't demonstrated a measurable human impact on hurricane patterns. The rate of Greenland's ice loss isn't accelerating compared to 8 decades ago. Economic models suggest that human-caused climate change will likely have relatively modest impacts on global GDP through 2100, rather than the catastrophic effects often portrayed. Koonin's revelatory moment came during his leadership of a 2014 American Physical Society workshop designed to critically examine climate science fundamentals. The workshop revealed several surprising insights. The human warming influence, while real, is physically small compared to natural variations and requires sophisticated detection methods. Climate models frequently diverge from observational data, particularly in crucial areas like tropical temperatures and precipitation patterns. Perhaps most concerning, government summaries often present simplified narratives that don't fully reflect the nuance and uncertainty documented in the underlying scientific reports. This creates a significant gap between scientific understanding and public perception, complicating both public discourse and policy decisions. The scientific process inherently involves questioning, uncertainty, and continuous refinement of understanding. However, these essential characteristics often get lost in translation as climate science moves from research laboratories to public consciousness, creating a potentially misleading picture of both the certainties and uncertainties in our current understanding of climate change. When examining climate data, context matters tremendously. Those dramatic global temperature graphs, showing alarming upward trends, actually represent tiny changes compared to the annual temperature variations we experience locally. In places like New York City, seasonal temperature swings can exceed 50°F, 28°C, while the entire range of global warming over the past century is about 1.8°F, 1°C. Similarly, daily temperature variations in continental regions like Montana or Mongolia can swing by 40°F, 22°C in a single 24-hour period. We must distinguish between weather, constantly varying conditions, and climate, the average of weather over decades. Climate changes slowly and requires decades of observation to identify trends. A single hot summer or cold winter tells us little about climate change, just as a winning streak doesn't necessarily indicate a skilled poker player. Measuring global surface temperature accurately presents significant challenges. Urbanization can artificially warm readings by 2 to 4F locally. Historical records before 1880 are sparse and uneven, and ocean temperatures were historically measured by ships using varying methods. Scientists address these complexities through multiple approaches. Temperature anomalies, deviations from baseline averages, help compare climate changes across different regions, normalizing for geographic and seasonal variations. Satellite data since 1979 provides independent verification of surface measurements. Ice cores, tree rings, and coral records offer proxy data extending back thousands of years. However, these methods can be misused through cherry-picking data intervals to support particular narratives, or by confusing local climate changes with global patterns. For example, the urban heat island effect can make cities 5 to 7F warmer than surrounding rural areas, but this local effect must be distinguished from broader climate trends. Precise terminology is crucial to avoid confusion. Human-caused climate change specifically refers to changes from human influences like greenhouse gas emissions, deforestation, and aerosols. A change in climate encompasses changes from any source, including volcanic eruptions, solar variations, and natural cycles. This distinction matters because human influences on climate were negligible before 1900, remained small until 1950, less than one quarter of today's levels, and natural variations were dominant enough to cause cooling between 1940-80 despite growing human influences. Recent warming patterns reveal important nuances. Land surfaces are warming about twice as fast as oceans due to water's higher heat capacity. Arctic regions are warming 2 to 3 times faster than global averages, while Antarctic warming is more modest. Nighttime temperatures are rising faster than daytime highs, and winter temperatures are increasing more than summer ones, creating a milder but more disrupted climate overall. These distinctive patterns help scientists distinguish between human and natural drivers, as each leaves its own characteristic fingerprint on climate data. The Earth's temperature results from a balance between warming by absorbed sunlight and cooling by infrared radiation emitted back into space. As the planet warms, it emits more infrared radiation until reaching radiative equilibrium. The Earth's reflectivity, or albedo, determines how much sunlight is absorbed versus reflected, with the planet currently reflecting about 30% of incoming sunlight. Greenhouse gases like water vapor, carbon dioxide, and methane trap heat by intercepting infrared radiation from Earth's surface. Water vapor is the most significant contributor, but CO2 has increased from 280 ppm in 1750 to 410 ppm today. This seemingly tiny change, fewer than 3 molecules per 10,000, increases the atmosphere's heat intercepting ability by about 1%. When measured on the absolute Kelvin temperature scale, this 1% change in heat interception corresponds to approximately a 1% change in temperature, about 3°C, showing the climate's sensitivity to small influences. Human activities also affect climate through other greenhouse gases, aerosols, which have a cooling effect, and land use changes. Together, human influences amount to just over 2 watts per meter squared, about 1% of the natural energy flow through the climate system. This physically small influence requires extremely precise measurements to understand its effects amid natural variability. The carbon cycle illustrates this challenge. Human-emitted CO2 represents a small addition to the vast natural carbon cycle moving among the Earth's crust, oceans, plants, and atmosphere. The largest carbon reservoir is the Earth's crust, 1.9 billion gigatons, followed by oceans, 40,000 GT, land, soils, living things, 2,100 GT, and fossil fuels, 5,000 to 10,000 GT. The atmosphere contains about 850 GT, mostly as CO2. Human fossil fuel emissions contribute about 4.5% to the annual carbon flow, with about half absorbed by increased vegetation and half remaining in the atmosphere. This persistence is unique. About 60% of emissions remain in the atmosphere after 20 years, 30 to 55% after a century, and 15 to 30% after a millennium. Climate models are computer programs that perform mathematical simulations of the climate system. While powerful tools, they have significant limitations, as statistician George Box famously noted, "All models are wrong, but some are useful." These models divide Earth into a three-dimensional grid, typically with 100 kilometers by 100 kilometer surface squares for the atmosphere, with 10 to 20 vertical layers, and 10 kilometers by 10 kilometer squares for oceans, with up to 30 layers, creating about 1 million atmospheric grid boxes and 100 million ocean grid boxes. Using fundamental physics, they calculate how air, water, and energy move between boxes in small time steps. However, many crucial phenomena, like clouds and mountains, occur on scales smaller than the typical 100-kilometer grid size, requiring subgrid assumptions that vary widely between modelers. These assumptions introduce significant uncertainty, especially regarding clouds, the greatest source of modeling uncertainty. Using finer grids would dramatically increase computation time. A simulation that takes 2 months with 100-kilometer grid squares would take over a century with 10-kilometer squares. Models must also be tuned by adjusting numerous parameters, a process that 15 leading climate modelers described as often seen as an unavoidable but dirty part of climate modeling, more engineering than science. Climate assessment reports rely on ensembles of models that dramatically disagree with each other and observations. The models fail to reproduce the strong warming observed from 1910 to 1940, simulating only about half the actual warming rate. The IPCC admits we've no idea what causes this failure, deeply unsettling, since this early warming is comparable to the late 20th century warming confidently attributed to human influences. Natural climate cycles like the El Niño Southern Oscillation, Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation, AMRO, and Pacific Decadal Oscillation create internal variability that makes it difficult to determine which observed changes are human-caused versus natural. While models can reproduce some aspects of El Niño events, they struggle with slower cycles. The media and politicians routinely blame extreme weather on climate change, but the scientific evidence presents a more nuanced picture. Most extreme weather events show no significant trends attributable to human influences, with multiple IPCC reports expressing low confidence in global trends for floods, droughts, severe storms, and extreme cyclones. This disconnect between public perception and scientific data highlights the importance of examining actual meteorological records rather than relying on news coverage. Temperature records reveal particularly interesting patterns. Despite popular perception, record daily high temperatures in the United States are no more common than a century ago, though record lows have decreased significantly. Professor John Christie's comprehensive analysis of absolute record temperatures from 725 U.S. weather stations since 1895 confirms this pattern. His research shows that record highs demonstrate no significant trend over 120 years, while record cold temperatures have been declining steadily. For example, in the 1930s, states like Kansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri experienced some of their highest temperature records that still stand today. The evidence indicates that temperature extremes in the U.S. have actually become less common and somewhat milder since the late 19th century, characterized by fewer harsh winters and cold evenings rather than more torrid summers. Hurricane patterns present another example where data contradicts popular narratives. Despite theoretical expectations that warming seas would increase hurricane activity, the historical record shows complex patterns with no clear human influence. North Atlantic hurricane activity follows natural cycles, particularly the Atlantic Multidecadal Oscillation, AMO, which produces alternating periods of high and low activity lasting 20 to 30 years. For instance, the active hurricane periods of the 1940s-1960s mirror recent patterns, suggesting natural variability rather than anthropogenic change. A landmark 2019 paper authored by 11 leading tropical cyclone experts found minimal evidence of detectable human-caused changes in hurricane patterns despite analyzing over a century of data. Tornado statistics tell an equally compelling story about the gap between perception and reality. When examining only EF1 or stronger tornadoes, those causing significant destruction, there's no trend over 60 years of reliable records. More tellingly, the strongest tornadoes, EF3+, have actually decreased by approximately 40% since 1954. States in Tornado Alley, like Oklahoma and Kansas, have seen no increase in severe tornado frequency. The most significant tornado-related change has been unambiguously positive. Annual U.S. tornado deaths have fallen dramatically, from about 80 people per million in 1875 to fewer than 8 per million today, thanks to improved radar systems and warning networks. Modern Doppler radar technology now provides average warning times of 13 minutes compared to virtually no warning in the early 20th century. This careful examination of long-term weather records demonstrates the importance of distinguishing between media coverage and scientific evidence when assessing climate-related changes in extreme weather patterns. Global precipitation data shows minimal change, only about 0.2% increase per decade since 1901, with high variability making this trend statistically weak. U.S. precipitation has increased slightly, 0.6% per decade, since 1900, but with dramatic regional variations. The year-to-year fluctuations far exceed the modest overall trend, making it difficult to distinguish human influence from natural variability. Despite modest rainfall changes, U.S. flooding trends vary geographically. Globally, the IPCC expresses low confidence regarding the sign of trend in flood magnitude or frequency, essentially admitting we don't know whether floods are increasing, decreasing, or unchanged worldwide. Historical records show floods larger than modern ones occurred throughout Europe, the Mediterranean, and East Asia during the past 500 years. Drought assessment is even more complex. The Palmer Drought Severity Index for the contiguous U.S. shows no significant long-term trend since 1895, with the past 50 years actually slightly wetter than average. Tree ring data reveals the Southwest experienced multiple decade-long mega-droughts between 900 to 1300 AD during naturally warmer periods, far exceeding anything in the 20th century. Sea level rise presents a similar story of context and perspective. Despite alarming media imagery, actual tide gauge records at Manhattan's Battery show sea levels rising at only about 30 centimeters, 1 foot, per century since 1855. While recent sea level rise rates are higher than the 20th century average, they must be viewed in context of substantial historical variability. The IPCC itself acknowledged that similar high rates occurred between 1920-1950. Local sea level is what truly matters for planning adaptation measures, and these differ from global averages due to factors like land subsidence, tectonic activity, and ocean currents. Future projections remain highly uncertain due to limited understanding of ice sheet dynamics, with the World Climate Research Program acknowledging major gaps in our understanding. The media and political discourse attribute numerous impending catastrophes to human climate influence, from death and destruction to disease, agricultural collapse, and economic ruin. However, historical data doesn't support such claims, and projections of future impacts stem from implausibly extreme scenarios fed into unreliable models. Consider climate-related deaths. In 2019 testimony to Congress, economist Michael Greenstone claimed climate change could cause an additional 85 deaths per 100,000 by 2100. This alarming projection represents 6 million additional annual deaths globally. However, examining actual data reveals weather-related death rates have fallen dramatically during the past century, even as global temperatures rose 1.2°C. They're about 80 times less frequent today than a century ago. Similarly, despite alarming headlines about climate change threatening food supplies, global production of both crop and animal calories has increased dramatically since 1960, with yields of wheat, rice, and maize more than doubling in 50 years. Rising CO2 concentrations have actually boosted crop yields through enhanced photosynthesis and water efficiency, while greening 25 to 50% of vegetated areas globally. Economic impacts tell the same story. The UN's fifth assessment report shows that a global temperature rise of up to 3°C by 2100 would negatively impact the global economy by only 3% or less, translating to a minuscule 0.04% annual reduction in growth rate. Even the 2018 National Climate Assessment projects that a very large warming of 5°C would diminish the U.S. economy by just 4% by 2090. Put in context, assuming conservative 2% annual growth, the U.S. economy will quadruple by 2090, and this devastating climate impact would merely delay that growth by about 2 years. If crucial parts of climate science remain unsettled, why is the narrative of the science so different from actual science? The disconnect stems not from some secret conspiracy, but from a self-reinforcing alignment of perspectives and interests among various stakeholders in climate matters: scientists, institutions, activists, media, and politicians. This complex web of interests creates an echo chamber where certain viewpoints are amplified while others are diminished. Media coverage of climate science has become increasingly provocative to drive clicks, with climate coverage particularly susceptible to sensationalism. News organizations face business pressures that favor alarming stories over nuanced reporting on scientific realities. For example, headlines about climate catastrophe generate more engagement than articles discussing uncertainty ranges in temperature projections. Staffing changes have reduced in-depth science coverage, with many newspapers eliminating dedicated science desks in favor of general assignment reporters. The emergence of dedicated climate reporters often creates a predetermined narrative of doom, as these journalists frequently lack scientific training and may approach stories with advocacy rather than analytical mindsets. Politicians exploit climate issues to arouse voter passion, presenting complex scientific matters as simple crises requiring immediate action. Climate threats are politically useful because they resonate universally while allowing predictions that won't be tested until long after politicians leave office. This dynamic encourages bold claims about future impacts without accountability for accuracy. Politicians can propose sweeping policy changes while citing consensus science, even when the underlying research contains significant uncertainties or caveats. Scientific institutions often prioritize narrative over accuracy in climate communications, perhaps fearing that acknowledging uncertainty might undermine public support for climate action. Despite the National Academy's reputation for objective, high-quality advice, their climate assessment reviews have frequently fallen short of their usual rigorous standards. Such statements bypass normal review procedures while carrying institutional weight, undermining public trust in scientific pronouncements. The result is a growing credibility gap between institutional pronouncements and the actual state of climate science. Individual climate scientists face institutional pressures that discourage honest communication about uncertainties. Career advancement, funding, and peer acceptance all push researchers toward producing alarming findings that generate press coverage. Grant proposals emphasizing potentially catastrophic outcomes are more likely to receive funding than those suggesting moderate impacts. As MIT oceanographer Carl Wanch noted, scientists analyzing inadequate climate data face difficult choices: admit the limitations and risk losing grants, or distort uncertainty calculations to produce headline-grabbing conclusions. This creates a selection bias favoring more extreme predictions and interpretations of data. The peer review process itself has become politicized in climate science, with researchers reporting pressure to remove or soften caveats about uncertainty. Conference presentations and journal submissions that challenge prevailing narratives face heightened scrutiny, while those supporting consensus views often receive less rigorous review. This institutional environment makes it professionally risky for scientists to publicly discuss uncertainties or limitations in climate science, creating a false impression of greater scientific certainty than actually exists. Given the enormous challenges of effectively reducing emissions and the concerns surrounding geoengineering, adaptation to climate change will likely complement, if not overshadow, mitigation efforts. This isn't a statement about what we should do, but rather a judgment about what we will do. Adaptation offers several advantages. It's agnostic, works regardless of climate change causes; proportional, can be scaled as needed; local, tailored to specific needs without requiring global consensus; autonomous, happens naturally as societies evolve; and effective, societies already thrive in diverse climates. Koonin suggests several concrete steps forward. 1. We need sustained, improved climate observations across all systems to understand climate changes that occur subtly over decades. 2. Climate models require better understanding rather than more unproductive computing. We should focus on why they fail to describe the recent past and make uncertain future projections. 3. The science needs improvement through open, honest discussion beyond slogans and polemics, possibly through a red team exercise scrutinizing upcoming reports. 4. We should pursue easy emissions reductions like stopping methane leaks, reducing exotic greenhouse gases, implementing cost-effective efficiencies, and researching emissions-light technologies. 5. We should pursue adaptation strategies more vigorously, as humans have adapted to diverse climates throughout history. 6. We should promote economic development in developing countries to improve their adaptation capacity. 7. We should research geoengineering options as a prudent precaution against significant climate deterioration. What we should do, in short, is restore integrity to climate science and take steps most likely to result in positive outcomes for society. The socio-technical obstacles to reducing CO2 emissions make it likely that human influences on the climate will not be stabilized this century. This isn't waffling, but realistic and prudent. We should make only low-risk changes until we better understand climate change.